Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to For My Eyes and Laurent with Poetry. Mine is the Laurent. I hope you feel better soon, Laurent. It would be nice to have you join us. So tonight it's For My Eyes and Rex with Poetry. Hey, Rex, how are you tonight?
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. What's happening, man? It's Friday. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Makes me happy.
E-G-I-B-S.
Yeah. I agree. Not sure what the extra letter was, but I'm not going to ask because I know better.
Thank God it's Bloody Friday.
Oh, Bloody Friday. There you go. See? I say bad words. I don't say that. So I always assume the worst. Mm-hmm. Well, oh, happy Friday, everyone. Happy day after St. Patrick's Day. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Hard to believe. We're already into March.
How many swollen heads and pounding brains on there today?
Oh, I don't know. But if I had my, you know what? That would have been me a long time ago. Now I have to be good.
True.
Well, I have to be gooder anyway. I don't.
No matter what, as long as it's St. Patrick's Day, everybody's a little Irish that day.
Amen. Everybody's Irish on Patrick's Day. Everybody. Yes. That's the party of it all. I think a lot of us have a little bit of Irish in them, one way or another. A lot of us. Not everybody. But
I got a lot of Irish.
Yeah. Well, I have English and Irish, and I have French-Canadian, and I have Italian in me.
So Mother was a McMahon.
Yeah? Very good. Yeah. So let me see. We got a lot of stuff on the board tonight, and we got a whole lot of audios, which I think are going to be fun to listen to. Most definitely. We got some fun ahead of us. Ooh, excuse me. I don't know what this yawn is about, but I can't stand it. It's driving me crazy. So anyway, Rex, I don't know. What do you got to say? Anything exciting?
Oh, no. It's just been raining again. Yeah.
Oh, God. You've had a lot of rain the last week. Hasn't it been?
Small lake out back is getting full.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Takes the fun out of it, doesn't it? It's like, uh-oh.
It's actually nice to see it burgeoning.
Then that's a good thing. I figured maybe it was going to, like, overflow into,
there's plenty of little rivulet runoff. It's just, it's swollen well right now.
Oh, that's awesome. So it's rather picturesque at the moment.
Yes.
Oh, my God, yes. So, what happened this week? Oh, nothing. Something. Everything. I don't know. It's been a busy week. Everybody's been busy. You know, all the shows have been busy. People have been, full of poetry, which is wonderful. We have a full board. I think there's a full board for tonight and tomorrow night. Hopefully for you on Sunday as well. So we're doing all right, I think we're doing all right.
Yes.
Absolutely. So let me see. I guess we should get the party kind of started. Otherwise, I'll be blamed for all the carryovers. Not by you, but by the people who got carried over. Okay. Well, we have another caller on the line. Right now we have Passion's Promise on the line. Hello, Promise. How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. How's everybody?
Very good.
Well, that doesn't sound promising.
You and your hair is perfect.
Ah, come on. Everybody likes a little green bean now and then. Well, how about the next one? How about some eau de framboise?
Okay.
Raspberry eyes.
Ah.
Sweet poppins, so you can see on the inside out.
So let me see. Okay, well, for right now it's just the three of us, so I'm going to put up the first piece, and I have a SoundCloud for that one, so that'll be a good start. And here we go. And this one's by Martha Gettle. It's called If I Didn't Know. If I Didn't Know You. Sorry. And here we go. If I Didn't Know You by Martha Gettle. If I didn't know you like I know you, I might walk around feeling the blues. But I know you, and it's so true. That I know just what you'll do. You say you're leaving, you're on your way. If but you will be back the very next day. You say you're leaving me for good, but you come back like I knew you would. I know I can't believe a word you say, but I'll just stand back and let you have your way. Yeah, baby, you might make me feel sad and blue if I didn't know you like I know you. You try to tell me that we are done, and you're headed out now to have some fun. And I might let you break my heart in two if I didn't know you like I know you. I know I can't believe a word you say, but I just stand back and let you have your way. Yeah, baby, you might make me feel sad and blue if I didn't know you like I know you. Yeah, I have learned a long time ago that you just like to put on a show. But I know your heart belongs to me alone, so I'll be here when you come back home.
Great song there, Martha. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Passion, why don't we start with you, please?
Another beautiful song by, well, kind of a sad song, but it's by Martha here. It's deeply emotional. I mean, there's the, you know, having to put up with somebody that is wishy-washy is not a good thing. But she stands firm and knows that he'll be back. And, I mean, I like the chorus. I know I can't believe a word you say, but I just stand back and let you have your way. And I think she did another tune-stomping song right here. She did a great job.
I like that wishy-washy. Nice. Gene,
right.
How about you?
Well, I think this is a great write by Martha. Nicely done, well expressed. A lot of times Martha's work is really well written. And, she says a lot in her work. About different circumstances, so excellent job, Martha, and thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you, Gene. Wishy-washy is a great word, although I probably would have gone with, this guy's a cad. But wishy-washy works. It kind of gives him a really softer note as to who and what he is, as opposed to actually being something stalwart. And the fact that you keep walking back and rolling that same old tune, it is sad, but there's a note of just giving in and not worrying about either side of it because, you know, he's coming home anyway, so it might just as well wait.
Sit home and wait for him to come back.
Yeah, that does sound kind of, I better leave it at that before I twist myself into a big or not. Gene, we're coming back your way.
Okay, right. Here we go. The next one I'm going to put up is for you, and this is by Robert Pileski.
Dookie dookie. Dry Memories by Robert Pileski. Flowers, once a wondrous beauty, adorning what the world says, then color into dust. Petals in gray fade to ash, leave nothing but yesterday's news. Flowers sit in a vase, colorful and lively, smile in flowers in every language on earth. How long flowers can smile in anguish before they wilt and die. Flowers, a withered suppressed bouquet dipped in the salt of tears, the blur of blues, reds, and yellows, days passing ever so quickly, but life stands still and forsaken. Like the dried up bouquet, memories, at one touch fall apart, colorful petals turn into butterflies. All fly away, but linger above the silver head. The past is never dead, just like the unforgotten bouquet of flowers dry, hangs above the fireplace. End poem. All right, Jean, you got first lick.
So overdramatic.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do that. I thought this was a great write by Robert, most definitely. And I thought it was a great take on that image, you know, dry memories, and, but the flowers. And his descriptions were wonderful, his imagery. And I think that he just did an excellent job with it. It was just well done, you know, very well. Just the descriptions were great throughout, and I really enjoyed that. So thanks, Robert, very much.
Well said, Jean. Thank you. And Passion, how about you?
Well, it's a beautiful piece. I didn't even look at the picture. I was just went by the words.
Went by the words.
Awesome. Awesome take. I like the dried up bouquet memories. At one touch, fall apart. Colorful petals turn into butterflies. The images are just beautiful. And then all fly away, but linger above the silver head. The past is never just like the unforgotten bouquet of flowers dry hangs above the fireplace. How many of us save, you know, the old petals? I saved mine for a long time after I got them. For a good, it was 6 months or so before I finally had to dispose of them. But I mean, you know, to me, just there's beauty in them as they wilt. I don't know, just the memory of getting them, and then you know it carries on. Just like this poem, it's beautiful and it'll carry on. It's a beautiful poem.
Nicely said. Thank you very much. The picture is by Renoir, so I like how he took it to the back end. While that picture is all lively, this one is centered around death and everything that comes with it, from the, a withered suppressed bouquet dipped in the salt of tears, predisposes a memory there, and the dried up bouquet, again, memories, and the thought of a colorful petals turn into butterflies, all fly away, but linger above the silver head. It's kind of a notice of understanding, but yet the memories still linger within that silver head. Kind of hits on that notion of maybe a frame, a kind of memento mori, so to speak, as well as those the dried flowers that sit above the fireplace. Something that you keep around for that moment when you might need a little bit of introspective thought. All right, Jean, we're coming back to you once more.
Okie dokie. Yeah, the next one I'm going to put up is by Titus Llewellyn. And I have a SoundCloud for that. So just give me one sec, and I'll get that ball rolling.
Hoctu iecto commium. If sonnets were to love the price I pay, awoken with a splendid turn of phrase to germinate each word a fine bouquet, it wholly represents what love portrays. If thoughts were to maintain an avid part, a magnitude of heartbeats from thy pen, discover for yourself this aching heart when palpitations play their part again. I shudder at the thought of one extreme. Love turns the next sensation to entrust. If sonnets were to requiem some dream, to drape my soul a masterclass it must. I'll ask your plea for love, the soft reply, the whisper from your lips before I die.
Wonderful read, Titus. Thank you very much for the sound clap. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Passion, you get first off on this one.
Well, Titus is well known for his little love sonnets, and this one is beautiful. I love the ending. Would love turns the next sensation to entrust if silence were to requiem. Some dreams straight my soul, a masterclass it must. I'll ask you to plead for love, the soft reply, the whisper from your lips before I die. It's a beautiful ending. I love those lines. I just can picture the love of a couple and the final ending and getting that final wish. This is a beautiful poem by Titus. I love it. Thank you, Titus.
Thank you, Passion. All right, Gene, what did you think?
And you know, I thought this was a beautiful sonnet. I really did. And I started here, I was looking at different lines, but I shudder at the thought of one extreme. Love turns the next sensation to interest. If sonnets were to requiem some dream, to drape my soul a masterclass it must. I'll ask you plea for love, the soft reply, the whisper from your lips before I die. Beautiful lines there. Very very Shakespeare-ish, you know. Nicely done. Nicely done, Titus. Thank you very much.
It is. It's a great sonnet. I like the fact that he went old world with it, with the 14 lines together without the separation. Kind of keeps the flavor and the wholeness going with it. That opening stanza was a great one to go with. His sonnets were the love, the price I pay, awoken with a splendid turn of phrase. To germinate each word, a fine bouquet. It wholly represents what love portrays. A great opening act that leads into that last thought down the bottom. I'll ask your plea for love, the soft reply, the whisper from your lips before I die. The thought of walking into that which she sees and feels and just asking for that one little whisper and kiss before the dying comes. A nice touch. All right, Gene, we're coming about
not yet.
Your way.
Not
it's
yet.
You,
sing
yes,
a little
it's always you.
Cut it out now. I'm trying to put this last little note together. Okay. Everybody wonders why I stopped in the middle of a sentence to put something up. Imagine that. Okay, let me see now. Yes, okay. These, by the way, are carryovers from last week, so I'm working on it. I'm trying. Okay, Passion, I'm going to put this next one up for you. And this one is by Jack Tomkovic.
Should I put on my husky voice?
That's entirely up to you.
Do it as deep as you want.
I'm not sure how husky it is.
Okay, George Floyd's Dilemma by Jack Tomkovic. In the end, it wasn't the chip on my shoulder, but the knee on my neck, and my back and my legs, and all the weights, anvils crushing, mashing, mutilating my blackness. You're killing me, my popo. But the young girl is filming my death on her phone. The whole world is recording this. 555 seconds in poem.
Great read, Passion. Thank you very much. All right, Gene. This is up your alley, short and sweet.
Yeah, tell me about it. I think Jack did a great job with this. It was well expressed. You know, George Floyd was a travesty of justice. Let me see. I was wandering around, so. Yeah. I think he did a good job. I think it was a great expression of, you know, his thoughts on the matter at hand. And, yeah, nice job, Jack. Jack keeps us abreast of all current events as he does his poetry. So I have to give him credit on that. So with that, nice job, Jack. Good piece, nicely written. You know, thoughts well.
Thank you, Gene. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're welcome. No, I'm good.
Oh, all right. All right, Passion, you got to read it. How about you?
Well, I got to read it, but I don't know who George Floyd is.
He died from police brutality.
He was that guy in Minnesota that ended up on the ground in front of a police car with a big, large cup on his neck and shoulders.
Oh, wow. I can't breathe.
Yes.
I mean, it was nicely written, but I don't know how to criticize this one with not knowing really about the George Floyd thing. But the
oh, I get that. No problem.
Thank you.
Actually, he kept to the, it could have gone really dark with this, but kept it something that anybody could read and understand without the full-flavored impact and the reality of that scene itself as it unfolded. And I do like the back end of this. It kind of punctuates the notation. 555 seconds. That was the amount of time it took before it all ended wrongly. Well done, Jack. Thank you very much. Back to you, Gene.
Eugene. He's never around, right? I keep trying to tell you that.
Well, message him and tell him to come on in.
I know, I tried, but he just...
Or is it Eugenia? But I just shortened it.
Well, Eugene never answers, so I don't know what to tell you there. But, yes. Okay, let me see now. I have a next piece up by Richard Weissman. So let me hit that button and play that song. Not song. Play that song. Play that. Idea. Where the hell am I going? Oh, my God. Okay, here we go.
They Came from Kapuscinsk by Richard Weissman. Missiles rained. Hellfire vomited up. For days I couldn't speak, let alone write of it. I recall the teachings of fiery Rebbes on ancestral trauma. Long dead Ukrainian cells buried deep within froze me. Still, despite my head shaking, jaw dropping, no, cold memories bubbled to surface. My ancestors fled over 100 years ago after a different war with an older Russia. Kapuscinsk, the village where they came from, was in Austria-Hungary when the Cossacks horsebacked through. Today there are tanks, and Kapuscinsk is Kapuscinski, a small village in Chernobyl, Ukraine. How many of its 6,627 have been murdered or made refugees? Though a century has passed, do any remember the name Weissman or recall the old thatch-roofed cemetery whose fingerless gravestone palms shadow our remains? Does it stand sentry still over the dead, or is it too a casualty of war? I long for today's words, but am muted by this new pall of death, my guts trembling for unborn descendants, future survivors of this war's trauma. So I turn within, turning my core to Divine Mother's peace, for the alternative is wintry white desolation where no seedlings can flower. End of poem.
Well, holy cow.
Great read, Richard. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It's greatly appreciated. I heard a holy cow, so you want to continue?
It is a potent piece, man. This is like very, I mean, not just a poem, but it's educational. My ancestors sealed over 100 years ago after a different war with an older Russia. With everything that's going on these days and everything, it's just an amazing piece. I mean, I'm amazed by this piece, to be totally honest.
Well said, Passion. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, how about you?
Well, let me try it off mute.
You got to unmute first.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I thought this was an excellent recounting of family history, as sad as that may be. It's a perfect time to tell it now with what's going on in Ukraine. But wonderfully penned and just incredible work. So, you know, Richard's very good at doing that, putting out a wonderful piece of poetry. But this has a lot of, you can feel the emotion in it, you know, with the circumstance. So way to go, Richard, and thank you so much.
Absolutely. There's that connection with, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was just going to say, I think we have Naomi aboard. Is that you, Naomi?
Oh. Yeah, it's me. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hi. No, I didn't. I just got online right now. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem. I had to draw a connection between now and then. And a lot of people don't know Ukrainian history is steeped in it's often been treated like the Middle East is today. That one battleground everybody wants a piece of and takes from, and it just walks away after the rubble has been strewn about, so to speak. It's not a whole lot's changed as far as there's a lot of pain in Ukraine, so to speak, on more than one single level, as opposed as today. It encompasses quite a bit going over the years. So nicely drawn thoughts from two separate generations going forward, a lot more than that in between. Thank you, Richard.
Hmm.
All right, Jean, we're back on you.
See? Always.
Yeah, we're gonna do the Bugs Bunny. Dog pile on the rabbit.
Very, very quiet. Okay, let me see now. What do I have? I'm going to kick this back to you, Rex.
Because
I want a male voice to finish out the carrier. And then...
All right, I think.
We can go. Hello, Frank. Hello, Casey. Hello, Wayne. Look at this. They're all out in the room. Nobody's on the line. I see how they are. Anyway, here we go. I'm going to put them on.
They need to get on.
We all know how it is. So there you go, Rex.
All right. Let's go to the psychological slope. By Wichita Rick. Psychological slope. New age, blindly falling from grace, fighting a hidden enemy. Keen and anxious, once the norm, now a psych diagnosis. Distress taken as some bad label. Faceless facts, hard to retract. Flashing light, world in blight. Harum-scarum analysis isn't reality. Inner truth, now given to a mental sleuth. Hidden truth, never seen. Cause and effect, does it mentally disable or inadvertently enable? Swallowing knowledge left us choking. Repetition offers no variation. Life has no on or off switch. Audits remain stable when emotions are constantly displayed openly on the table, so irrationally. Paranoid, covered in a blanket of fear, selected target our mind now, part of the market, pointing at humans being inhumane, part of the game, being playful, becoming a lost fable. Why always recall when you're about to fall? Simple shuffle memory cards can show greener cards. Following pre-plotted maps leads to another casualty. Not as bad as it appears. Forget learning to simply survive. Permanent pessimist, impossible to relax when buried in facts. Wasteful worry replacing meaningful ways to remain grateful. Instant diagnoses blown into multi-tethered prognosis. Finding middle ground when being told you're not normal or crazy leaves many lacking. Losing leverage when searching for adequacy. Mass media senseless saying, gather no moss to keep the blue balls rolling. Taking fun from function, new dog and pony show, subconsciously afraid, living life now seen as something faithful. Digging our own graves, personal pallbearers for basic thought, selling freedom for an unfulfilled diagnosis, words a magic elixir, removing ways to face fear rationally. Social wisdom masking the freedom of a child to walk through a puddle instead of a lifetime of insight finding knowledge to walk around them. Remembering to smile, give strength to go the extra mile. Life on life's terms need not be painful. And boom. And Naomi, why don't we start with you? Please.
I was just reading the AM there. First thoughts were follow up on something I did before on basic thoughts being changed by negative feedback. Feeling something mentally wrong when it is just life goes deeper and wider than simple prose allows and is now several generations deep. Do we try and reverse this? It's quite an insightful piece and a piece that makes you ponder. I love the lines, paranoid, covered in a blanket of fear, selected target, our mind now a part of the market, pointing at human beings inhumane, part of the game, being playful, becoming a lost fable. He touches on a thing that, can be, deep and bring on a lot of discussions, I think. And for that, I think it's a her, which a Rick is a guy. Okay. We can talk a lot over this subject here. And I thought he addressed it, in a straightforward way and in a way that brings us to ponder. So great write here by Witcherick.
Thank you very much, Naomi. And Passion, how about you?
Yes, you pretty much took the words out of my mouth. It gives you a lot to ponder. I mean, every stanza gives you to stand alone. I mean, it can give you something to discuss. I like the stanzas she had mentioned, and also the social wisdom masking the freedom of a child to walk through a puddle instead of a lifetime of insight, finding knowledge to walk around them, remembering to smile, the strength to go the extra mile. Life on life's terms need not be painful, it is a very, very in-depth piece that can lead to many, like she said, it was one that you can actually discuss over and over with different areas of this piece, and it was well written, and he laid it out in a nice format that leaves you saying, wow, and thinking. So I liked it.
Thank you very much, Passion. And Jean.
Oh, my. yes, I think that this is a great piece by Rick. that it was nicely expressed thought from the subject. And I liked his closing stanza, a social wisdom masking the freedom of a child to walk through a puddle instead of a lifetime of insight finding knowledge to walk around them. Remembering to smile gives strength to go the extra mile. Life on life's terms need not be painful. I think that was a great stanza there. And no, it's not the whole thing, but I think it ties it up real nicely in the bow. You know, well done.
Oh, you're absolutely right. That last stanza holds the rest of it all together with the sort of once you've given up those freedoms, they don't ever come back to begin with, and then they only beg for more as they tell you, hey, keep you safe, we got to do this. Don't listen to this one, listen to us. It's that notation of manipulation through whatever entity or mannerism that they wish to employ, which hits on that notion of the thought of several generations being run this way. So it gets into that thought of destruction from a ground-level approach. Okay, done, Rick. Thank you very much. All right. Jane, we're coming up back up to you once more.
In my name again. I just knew it. Knew it.
Knew it? Okay. I'll change it up and do something else on the back end. Next one.
That scared me. Okay, there we go. There we go. Okay, we got those are all done. Now, this brings me down into the non-carryovers. And we're going to start out by one by... We are all gonzo. Yes.
Oh,
I know Rick, I'm losing it. I know that Rex has been looking forward to this one. Yep. So here we go. This is part four of the series. So we are going to play it now.
Hawk up above.
I hate Christmas. And I'm never going back to my dad.
Sweet silver bell.
We have 11 more brothers to meet. Come with us.
Four seem to say.
This night. Or his night.
Four seem to say, throw cats away.
One of those little freaks with the high-pitched squeak dropped you down this hole about 4 foot deep.
Hawk up above.
Jack, what are you doing?
Sweet silver bell.
Follow my plan. This will work.
Four seem to say.
Say, what the?
Four seem to say, throw cats away.
But my little friend. Was a real giant.
Ding dong ding dong. Such is their song.
That last chapter was gross.
I bet there was blood and guts everywhere. This story kicks ass.
Watch your language, young man.
Sorry, Gramps, but come on. This is way better than those stupid fairy tales you usually read.
I hate this story. I hate story time. And I hate Christmas, too. Yom was right. This is a stupid holiday.
I don't think you're understanding the moral of the story.
The moral story is don't trust dwarves.
And always carry a knife.
No, no, no. It's not about weapons or violence.
How's Jan gonna fight a real giant?
He's not. This is probably one of those trick stories where they actually die.
I bet Jan and the giant are gonna get married.
Will not.
Will too.
Well, technically he'd be Mr. Witch Giant.
What?
The giant is a witch?
Grilla is her name. And the 13 dwarves are her children. Well, 12 now. She spends holidays perusing for young kin to munch on before her portal to hell seals shut for another season. When she became too weak to travel, she began sending her sons to fetch her dinner. Didn't matter what child they were, although they preferred the thick and not the thinner.
Any children?
Only naughty children.
He's naughty.
So like when she stole chocolate bars from the grocery store.
Oh, and he and his friends were in the woods playing with matches.
You two what?
Or how she has stolen 25 bucks since she's been on this visit. Just this one.
Oh, and he got the dog to wear the dentures.
That why they're furry.
Or how he searched up bad videos on Dad's computer. And now Mom and Dad go to counseling.
Or how she keeps poisoning the neighbor's dogs with rat poison.
Enough! Enough!
Now, the both of you listen and listen heartily to this story. It would serve you well to heed this lesson, as my children raise two spoiled brats, as I seem to be guessing.
Okay, old man, but seriously, any more perks with beer or knives?
Well, I guess you'll just have to pay attention to find out.
You know you'll never escape here.
Stealing things.
No, I hate Christmas.
You have been very naughty.
I wish my mom was here.
I wish anyone was here.
She eats them, of course. What else would you do with children?
Little boy, wake up.
This is the tale of the Yule of the Giant. The only boy who ever escaped Dimmu Borgir. Desperate plea. Jan knew this was defeat. As he stared at what was left of the feet and the legs and the waist of young Jack, it became nothing more than a mid-morning snack. Jan could not stop such a morbid, sad thought. Jack was the one who snatched the switchblade. What if the blade was on the part of Jack? The giant ate. He walked over and searched his friend, luckily feeling the blade's slick black end. A sigh of relief gave him little peace as he turned to spy another one of the fiends.
Hello.
As if animal instinct, Jan started to listen and speak from his heart.
I'm not a bad boy. I'm not really naughty. I'm just real sad since my mommy died. She was an angel, the best part of my life. If I had one more chance to go home to my life, I know I could do better. I swear I would try.
The sky cracked fierce with the lightning strike. Stomps clonked along. Stone brick walls and a familiar bellow rained down the hall. Tears flowed down Jan's cheeks.
Please, one more chance to save my life.
Why couldn't he have just called out to his father and hugged one another once more, instead of running away and getting stuck in this place? Loneliness had lost all allure.
I swear I'll be so good, and every one of my kids will be good too. And their kids too. I promise this to you.
The giant stretched itself in front of Jan with indignation. He finally got an up-close look at the horrid abomination. Fair 16 feet tall, with eyes as round as the day is long, able to crush stone and bone within his palm, able to squeeze the life from the quivering giant, Little John.
Until the day I die, I swear I'll try.
Its bony fingers curved in a cup, the giant extended its arms towards the young pup. You have a deal. No, don't mess this up.
I won't.
The giant spun around and put his hand to the circle stone, shimmering clear, and disappeared from Dimmu Borgir. The dwarves were all gone and Jan was alone, finally free to run back to his home. He was a changed young lad, no longer bitter inside. To make up for his mistake, he knew he would try to be the best man that ever lived, and true to his words,
Wait.
Hang on a minute.
Whoa, Gramps, come on.
Are you kidding me?
That ending was worse than it, too.
That can't be the ending. It just, it sucks butt from a rubber cup.
That ending was number two. I'm not going to bed until you read us a proper story.
Yeah, read us a better one.
Read us a better one.
Read us a better one.
Read us a better one. I'm never going to listen to your stupid stories again.
Stupid stories.
Good luck.
Read us another one, Gramps, or else I'm going to start stealing your social security.
If you don't read us another story, I'll smother you in your sleep.
You should have paid closer attention. This story is about naughty children like you getting what they deserve.
We're the entitlement generation, Gramps.
Yeah, we deserve whatever we want.
Get with the times. Old fogey.
Papa, what was that?
Oh, it's Papa now, is it?
What was that?
That, my spoiled, saucy simpletons, was the telltale sound of massive hooves touching down on your very rooftop.
I'm scared.
You're lying.
Oh, no. I never lie. Naughty children like you lie. But good little boys like me, we always tell the truth. I'm very sorry you didn't like the story, but it's too bad because you could have changed the ending to this yourselves. Instead of making Jan break his promise to the witch, you two could have just behaved and he would have died an old man, happy and content. Instead, I get to watch her scoop you up and carry you away.
It's not real. It's not true.
Papa, why are you letting her take us?
Papa made a deal a long time ago on the edge of that mountain. A life for a life. Well, in this case, two lives. I did take one of her children. Only fitting she takes two in return.
It was just a story.
How's this for an ending?
My own.
That was wonderful, Gonzo. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Naomi, why don't we start with you, please?
Oh, that was great. Oh, my gracious. You know, what a way to portray the spoiled little brats that are around, walking around today. You know, it's just great that the way he stages the whole thing with the voices and the music and everything, it's just, you know, it's spectacular. Just an amazing. It keeps us on our edge, too. We're just there, you know, listening to what's going to happen, you know. So just an amazing write by Gonzo.
Absolutely. Thank you very much there, Naomi. All right, Jean, how about you?
Oh, I thought this was just excellent from start to finish. Absolutely a wonderful wind-up for the series of four, and very well done. Gonzo does an incredible job with his audios, not to mention he wrote it, too, so, I mean, that just really says a lot there. It's just an incredible piece. And I'm kind of sorry it's over. We won't have another one to listen to next week. Before we move from me to someone else, I want to let you know, I did pick Wayne up. I picked him up before you read the last piece.
Oh, okay.
And I'm sorry, Wayne, I didn't mean to slight you in any way,
okay,
shape, or form.
Hey, Wayne, how you doing?
Hi, Wayne.
I'm doing fine. Listen, your husband sounds good show.
Well, anyway, Wayne, did you get a chance to hear that?
Oh, yeah, I heard it. I think it was a masterful production. It was a first-class storyline. It has wonderful narratives in it. It seemed like I saw the movie. It was being recited. I could see it in color. It's so detailed. He's the man, as far as I'm concerned. He knows how to do production pretty well. And it's a little bit long for my concentration ability. I thought it was a bit long. But other than that, it was perfectly done, like a movie.
Absolutely. Thank you, Wayne. All right, Passion, how about you?
Well. Let me say that I am not one that usually is engrossed into long pieces, but I tell you what, this piece had me on the edge. This was flipping awesome as hell. And I want part 1, 2, 3. I need to. I want 1, 2, and 3. I need them. This is a fabulous presentation. I loved it all. I loved it totally. Brex, this was the bomb. Thank you. We are all gonzo.
Great comments, everybody. And you're right. This was a great piece. I wasn't expecting that angle he threw in the middle of this about being the entitled generation and all the nasty little things that they've gotten into telling on each other. What a great spin there with some humor rolled in, which was a nice touch. And I love that ending. screaming off into the distance, so to speak. Hey, I took one of hers. She's got a right to take two of mine. My children. Nicely done, Gonzo. That was a great wrap up piece. Thank you very much. All right, Phil, now we're coming back to you. Uh-huh.
Okay, dokie. Let me see now. Next is, promise I have one for you next. And this one is by Diane D.
I'm here. I'm waiting for it to load up on my side.
Okay.
Okay.
You were so quiet, I didn't think you heard me.
Shake it. It might come up faster.
I did. Okay. Smart Alex. Earth Evolution by Diane D. Earth's evolution, spectacular rock arches stand on her mantle. Panoramic views of natural wild beauty embrace abundance. Thick rocky forest, nature in all her glory, craggy emergence. Carved jawed inlets in the continental drift, indented shoreline. Peaceful skies above, rolling billows of the clouds, sunshine peering through, and home.
Great read, Passion. Thank you very much. And Wayne, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, this is a cute little memory. I said, this is a little memory that lasted for about 2 billion years. Just the evolution of the Earth. And it's a very good poem, a nice little short poem, right?
Thank you, Wayne. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, this is just beautiful with it. The way she attacks the imagery all throughout, you know, just spectacular. The thick rocky forest, nature in all her glory, cragging. Emergence. I love the word cragging emergence there, and the carved fjords, inlets in the continental drifts. And then her last stanza, you know, is really the rolling billows of the clouds. She had just amazing imagery and wording all throughout this piece. Bravo, Diane.
Well said, Naomi. Thank you very much. And Eyes, how about you? We've got to unmute first. Jean, are you there?
I am here. You said my name? I didn't hear my name. I'm sorry.
Eyes?
I was unmuted, too. That's the funny part. I really was. But you wouldn't know that. Sorry. I thought this was great imagery throughout. It was lovely work, and I very much enjoyed it. I thought the image, I thought she did a nice job drawing from that image in this piece. I did not, I don't know what I was just going to say. Forget it. But I thought each stanza was a great touch on the image itself. So nicely done, Diane. As always, great piece.
Thank you, Jean. and passion. How about you? You got to read it.
I think it was a beautiful, beautiful piece that actually could be read with each stanza alone, stands by itself. It's full of great images. I enjoyed this piece by Diane. Her pieces are always very in tune with the prompts, and she's great with brevity. I loved it.
Ah, thank you very much. Actually, she did that picture real good justice. And like Wayne said, she ran it through a 2 billion year history of evolution from the outset, Earth's evolution, and then rolls into throws in the continental drifts, because we did used to be one huge landmass at one point in time. So it was a nice touch in there. The growth of thick rocky forests, peaceful skies, rolling billows of the clouds, sunshine peering through. It's a nice touch to not just the evolution through the years, but also that notation to having something around that knows what peaceful skies above, rolling billows of clouds, sunshine peering through, noticing, and then jotting down the beauty of it overall. Nicely done, Diane. Thank you very much. All right, Phil, Gene, Eugene.
All right.
It's up to you.
Okay, here we go. We're going to put Casey's piece up next. Hey, Robbie, how are you tonight? And let me kick that button. Bam.
Wet dream. You rocket across the skies of my dreams, breaking lines between dusk and dawn, a comet inhaled. Clouds burst within us. We are swallowing moons and shooting stars from our fingertips. Wrapped up in knots, our bodies become earthly tides, sinking into each other. Waves overtake time. Obedience makes us unworthy. Eve ate the apple now. Free-willing heathens, we own our freedoms, consuming our demons. We search for the light inside our bodies, drawing it out with our blistering lips, breaking covenants with our hips. We are flawed. It makes us gods. What a dangerous thing to be human beings.
Great read, Casey. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Passion, start with you first, please.
Yeah, why would you start with me first?
Why not?
Why not?
I'm just saying. It was a wonderful, wonderful. I mean, I liked it from the beginning to the ending, and I'm like, what a dangerous thing to be human being, is it? No, you can miss all that. She did a great job with detail, imagery, being everything. Free-willing heathens, we own our own freedom, consuming our demons. We search for the light outside our bodies, drawing it out with our blistering lips, breaking covenants with our hips. We are flawed. Yes, we are. And yes, it's a good thing. I love this piece.
Thank you, Passion. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I love how she took that picture and she made this piece, you know, inspired by that picture. Just, you know, it's amazing. And her reading of it, too, you know, Casey, she always knows just where to pause and, you know, where to put the emphasis on her words when she's reading. She's just such a brilliant reading. I just love a comet inhaled. Clouds burst within us. We're swallowing moons and shooting stars from our fingertips. You know, those are just two of the amazing, amazing lines that are all through this, you know. Free-willing heathens, we own our freedoms, consuming our demons. So true, you know. But what she puts into this, you know. We are all, like, consuming our own demons, you know, inside of us, and that makes us all flawed and dangerous things to be human beings. I think she stated this so well, you know, and it's deep. It's a deep, deep right, you know, and so complex in the simplicity that she so beautifully wrote it, but it has a deepness to it. So just an amazing, amazing piece here, Casey. Wow, just really a beautiful piece.
Well, thank you, Naomi. And Wayne, how about you?
This is a different kind of poem. I think it's pretty nice. This title itself kind of throws you off base a little bit. Then she started the first stanza sounds kind of central to me. You know, she's talking about, you know, comets and shooting and swallowing moons and shooting stars. I thought it was going along pretty central. And then I sent you to write to the dark side and start talking about the flaws of humanity. And it's a great poem, well written, in a excellent poem. Kind of caught me off guard the last part of it. I thought it was going in a different direction at the beginning. It's a very good poem. Enjoyed it.
Excellent. Thank you, Wayne. All right, Jean, how about you?
I thought this was a great piece. Like everyone else, when I read the title, I went, ooh, where are we going here? But it was wonderful. I loved her lead-in stanza. I thought it was very well done. I thought it drew the reader into the right, which I thought was wonderful work. So, I quoted that one, "You rocket across the skies of my dreams, breaking lines between dusk and dawn. A comet inhaled, clouds burst within us." I took it all the way down to overtake time, but I thought that was just a great intro to it. The other stanzas were just as wonderful, but it was whether I wanted to say I liked how she wrapped it up or how I started it out, and I thought starting it out was really nicely done. So great job, Casey. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Great comments, everybody. I thought that middle two-line piece was the juxtaposition, because you look at the top half, you look at the bottom half, they're the before and after that middle section. Obedience makes us unworthy. Eve ate the apple. Mm-hmm. Now, Wayne, you and everybody else hit on that note, the opening stanza hit on the thought of sensuality and being in the moment, so to speak. That was that first angle. The bottom angle hits on the almost that sort of as she hits on that note, it makes us gods. We hit on that kind of notation of the Tower of Babel. We've kind of gone a bit too far, too fast, and we don't know how to actually live with and understand that which we have created, which makes us inherently dangerous. Mm-hmm. How do you done there, Casey? Thank you.
Very kind of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, Jean, we're coming back to you.
Okay, that's yes, Naomi, and that brings me to you, and I'm going to put up a piece by Incubus, if you don't mind.
Yes, okay.
Thank you.
Kisses. It's called Kisses Emoji. How can just the sight of her typefaced kisses inked upon permanent pixelated paper make me smile so, make me ache so, to taste them, to feel their warmth upon my lips, to hear them whisper sweet nothings in my ear, to have them breathe soft upon my skin, as we simply lay together, holding on to the dream, shared not only in our poetry, but deep within our hearts. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. All right, Dean, you got this gift at the short one.
No, I'm not ready. Sorry.
Somehow I knew that was coming, but that's okay. Wayne, why don't we start with you, please?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know this is sensual. I don't have to guess about it, but it's a very, very, very hot point. I enjoyed all of it, too. It's great. It's great. Just a hot little point. She did a good job with it. I enjoyed the poem. Good job.
Absolutely. Thank you, Wayne. All right, Passion, how about you?
I think Ink did a wonderful job with this. It brought out a lot of romanticism and light sensual. I mean, it's just, you know, it makes you look at those little emoji kisses differently now. Really, right? So to feel the warmth upon my lips, to hear them whisper sweet nothings in my ear, to have them breathe soft upon my skin. Beautiful lines. As we simply lay together, holding on to the dream, share not only in our poetry, but to have something that's real. I mean, this is a very intimate poem. I love it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Passion. Naomi, you got to read it. How about
Yeah. You? Yeah, I just love this piece. You know, it's a, he says so much. It is any piece that makes me feel emotion, well, it gets me. You know, that's what I search in poetry. It's something that can bring up an emotion inside of me, and this did. You know, it is a reflection of our times. You know, our times where we are people that use Messenger, and we're people that text a lot. You know, we're in that time there that we correspond a lot by a computer and by technology, and I think he brought that out, how love can be formed in that type of technology here, and how you can be moved by somebody, some loved person, you know, just by those little smiley faces. I know I have, and yeah, just a brilliantly written piece here by Ink.
Thank you very much, Naomi. And Jean, it's now your turn.
Well, hi, thank you. You have to stop playing tricks on me like that. I get so confused. But I thought this was just a wonderfully written piece. I thought it was well said. And, you know, whether it's emojis or words on the screen, you know, love can be felt and expressed in so many different ways. You know, some people say, oh, they're just silly little faces. Well, you know, they kind of are. But when, between two people who have an emotional connection, you know, it's a little bit more in some ways to them. And so I think that he captured that in here and just a really, really well done piece. Great job.
Oh, absolutely. Great comments, everybody. Mm-hmm. And it draws on two heavy emotions, both love and pain, because that ache hits on that notion of plus the sort of just to taste, feel the warm of my lips, hear them whisper sweet nothings, may have them breathe soft upon my skin. Hits on that longing note, and then the back end, it also hits holding on to the dream, shared not only in our poetry, but deep within our hearts. So there's a note, kind of a thought to there's a bit of separation in the two, whether it's for work or whether it's just the fact of the world we live in. But that sits within this as well. So nicely done, Ink. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Jean, the dancing machine, it's back to you.
I've been told worse. So I just want you to know.
You remember that Jean, the dancing machine from the Gong Show?
Yes, I do. The Gong Show. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Who could ever forget the Gong Show? But again, whoever wants to remember the Gong Show. So there's two profound.
Oh, I love that big old shepherd's hook they used to bring out and pull people off stage.
They were crazy as all get out. They really were. Okay, let me see now. I have to go over here. Okay, Naomi read that one. Now I have to go and I have to find an audio. Okay, I'll tell you what. Let me put this one up by Mr. M.
And so this is called Deadens by Mr. M, and I have a clip for that.
This is my recital of Deadened. Anger. It is one of the most primitive of emotions, so raw, so destructive, and oh so powerful. I too had fell under the surge of adrenaline, the haze of rage that blanketed all of my frailties in the heat of its fury. But this was not always so. I was once a kind man, a gentle man, a man who seemingly would not hurt a fly. Yet over the years, niceties lose their meaning, considerations incite tyranny and manipulation, and trust buries deep the nail in the heart's proverbial coffin. One after another, people seemed to line up to have their fill at my expense. I was the go-to guy when everyone needed help, but when it was my turn, not a hand nor ear could be found in my regard. After a while, I thought it was me. I wondered what it was about me that made me seem like such a viable target. And so, needless to say, naivety allowed me to believe that I could be loved. I foolishly thought that after the decades of loneliness, that I may finally know what it was, a feeling that I only knew as a word, the feeling that is love. Time is the ultimate truth, however, and soon the baleful facade could no longer sustain its guise under the weight of its own hypocrisy, and the curtains fell, the mask cracked, and all of the puppeteers of this shameful theater made themselves known. It was then that I felt the anger, an anger so great that it seemed as if the fire in my soul was stripping my flesh from my bones. Yes, it was then that I thought of murder. And so it was. Multiple deaths ensued as the result of my overwhelming rage. The death of my pride, the death of my trust, the death of my naivety. Since in order for me to be able to cope, in order for me to be able to maintain sanity, I had to kill the very thing that I would die for. Love.
Great read, Mr. M, and thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Naomi, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, well, this is, wow. This is deep, eh? It's dark. You know, there's a lot of, I hear a lot of rage and a lot of sadness and a lot of despair throughout it, you know. And loneliness too. There's a lot of emotion here, and you know he brings it up. You know it happens a lot. I think a lot of people can relate to this. How you trust other people, how you when you're that person that you know that just every he like he says the go-to guy, or you know the go-to girl. You know, when everybody needs you, you're there. And then when you need somebody, nobody's there. It brings up all these emotions. I love that he says, you know, death of my pride, death of my trust, death of my naivety. Just a well-expressed piece throughout, you know. Just a great... awesome right here by Mr. M.
Absolutely. Thank you, Naomi. And Wayne, how about you?
I said, well, this is a very, very good read. I love the emotions in this right here. It's great. Like we said, oh, I said naive, and he talks about how love hurts, and at the end of that lady sang, and the blood was buried, and the show was over. It's great details. I loved it all through. Enjoyed the whole thing.
Excellent. Thank you, Wayne. All right, Passion, what you got for us?
I think it was a very emotional, depressive piece, one that, like
was mentioned. I mean, everybody can relate to at one point in their lives or more so. I mean, some of us wear our hearts on our sleeve and go through a lot of different trials, and for this, for the retreat, it was deeply so. And at the end, giving it all up for love, you know, and that's sometimes what we do or we think is love at the time. That was our most powerful read that I've read in a while.
Excellent. Thank you, Pash. All right, Jean, how about you?
Well, I thought this was a very powerful write by Robert, and an excellent read by him as well. It's been a while since I heard this one, and it was just as strong tonight as it was in the beginning, so I have to give him credit on that. Wonderful, wonderful job, Mr. M, and thanks for sharing with us. And I also want to let you know I brought Dex on board. Hey, Dex.
Dex, how you doing?
Hi, Dex.
Pretty good. How is everybody?
Great.
We're good.
Thanks.
And you?
Good. Did you get to hear that last piece by chance?
Did.
I did, and, you know, he captured everything that anger kind of embodies, and he really kind of, he really tackled it. And brought it out and wasn't really afraid to really get into that raw emotion of it. So I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. This was very powerful. It hit on that notion of introspection, too, because he rolls that that middle section where what it used to be and how it all began and where it turned. And I thought the back end of this, where it got down to the death of my pride, the death of my trust, the death of my naivete, and then since in order for me to be able to cope, in order for me to be able to maintain sanity, I had to kill the very thing that I would die for, love. And that kind of hit me with the notion of that was actually what he actually did, because he's talked of murder, but what he actually did was he circumcised his soul, took the humanity out of himself so he could actually live within that cold bearing that he's felt for quite a while, which is another touch to the back end of what you give up in living. All right, Jean, we're coming to you.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have two more reads, one for Wayne and one for Dex, and then I'm going to start with everybody who's here and present.
Okay.
I can't be able to read tonight. I won't be able to read tonight. I've been watching blogging hard all day. I can't hardly talk. So I can't be able to read a poem tonight. Sorry.
Oh, you can't read anything tonight? Okay.
No, I couldn't read anything tonight.
Yeah, it's okay. I got it. Okay. Dex, I have one up for you by S. Sharp.
All right, sounds good. This is S. Sharp, The Well Runs Dry. Truth, muffled voice from within Earth's bowels, cries out. Her pure, naked body, her soul, like humanity's well, an empty aquifer of lies, hatred, and deceit. Built from political dams with power surpassing Hoover's, and a message that deserves the smudged but primarily blank white fate of the erased 1953 de Kooning. End poem.
Gregory Dex, thank you very much. All right, let's see. Passions, how about you? Why don't you kick us off?
Sorry, I had to get myself off of mute. This was a very intense piece of poetry. I liked her pure naked body, her soul like humanity's well, an empty aquifer of lies, hatred, and deceit. I mean, it's just a great detailed piece with passing viewers and a message. It deserves as much. It was a great piece written by Sharp.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pash. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, well, I had to read the yay and I'm telling you, because I had no idea what he was talking about.
That's a very long yay and, you'll be on it for quite a while.
Yeah, but I read, you know, just the last stanza of the yay and it explains a lot, you know, that they're erasing and everything of the painting that turned into a blank white square, and he called it his own erase deconing. Yeah, I thought this was amazingly well written. And, you know, anything that makes me learn something enriches my, you know, my knowledge and my mind. So thanks a lot, Scott, for this piece, you know, so well written, very well put together, brevity here. And just thank you. Amazing piece.
Thank you, Naomi. And Wayne, how about you?
This is a great poem. This is an environmental poem with emphasis in the political decisions of the time. Progress hurts and politicians suck. And that's what it's always been. And this is a good poem about Mother Nature and about what politicians did to it, but progress sucks. Anyway, that's my view of the poem. Great poem.
Thank you, Wayne. And Dex, you got to read it.
Yeah. You know, afterwards I was trying to look at the AN a little bit, and it says, written in response to the painting, Truth Coming Out of Her Well. And so without really knowing the whole background, I guess, and seeing the painting itself, I'm kind of taking this as this person's interpretation, and that's kind of what art is, and what they interpreted the art to be, and kind of, I guess, maybe revealing of this person's feelings and notions towards women, maybe in a way, of this beautiful naked body, her soul, but the lies and hatred, you know, and deceit and these things. So without kind of just kind of taking this one at face value, you know, it just kind of describes a lot of pain, coming from beauty. So very well done.
Excellent. Thank you. Dex, the pictures you refer to is four paintings that de Kooning did with a nudes coming out of a well in a garden atmosphere. Different poses, but all based around the same theme of truth coming out of the well, so to speak. Jean, how about you? What do you think? Unmute.
Yeah, that helped. Damn it. This was really a great brevity that he wrote, and I enjoyed it. You know, we once did that contest on the Naked Truth, stepping from the well, and that's, you know, exactly what I thought the whole thing was going to be around. But then at the end of the AN, it was completely different. I'm not sure, and I don't remember who actually painted that image that we used as a prompt, whether it was de Kooning or who, so I'm not going to lie. But I thought this was well-expressed and really well-written and a clever piece. So thank you, S. Sharp, for sharing with us tonight. Much appreciated.
Absolutely. I think he's getting, with that opening voice, Truth's muffled voice from within the Earth's bowels cries out. It's kind of a notion of all that's going on today, the deceit, the lies, the hatred, everything that's being pummeled daily and every second of each and every minute across the spectrum that he's getting at. And there's a need for truth to be heard, because we're not getting a whole lot of it these days on any level. It's all lies, and more lies built upon those lies, because hell, you can't remember the lies you told, so you got to make up new lies to cover the ones you've already told.
Yeah. Amen.
And I think that's where the back end of this is. We need to
strip that away by erasing the lies and getting back to the truths of that which is, as opposed to that which they want to be held up as truth. Thank you there, Mr. Sharp. All right, Gene, we're coming up back to you.
Okay, here we go. Let me next one up for you, Rex. Do not have a piece for me. Read one more of those. And that's by Dan.
There you go. Off Shorts Released by Daniel Deschino. Nice pick. On pavement I walk, among shadows I feel, hazy sunlight reveal, revelation so real, like eyes of a hawk. Early morning weekend clouds, blanket and comfort, the silent sleeping air, to rest just a little more. A morning dove perched on electric comfort, of which it knows not, of the devil's breath that flows within, chats with its partner on nearby tree, like an old couple on a Sunday morning. Geese on mirrored stream with distant city at river's end, obscured by fog, no difference from clear sun days, for the indifferent geese care not for architect ego. A dog barks when undisclosed house, its rage echoing through the streets and yards, possibly disturbed by passing penitent cars, shiny warped nature, more aware of their sins than the drivers themselves. Perhaps the dog barks as a kindred call to a fellow creation of man that doesn't quite fit in this natural world. Heaven be the garden of the God of faith, lost in the printed word of man, but of which does still bloom in the hidden parts of some of our hearts. And hell be the fruit that I eat without want, without need, without respect, discarded in dirt, to rot with the worms, and hell only hurts when the first fire burns. But when all nerves severed and dead from consistent flames, a comforting warmth is all that remains, like a distant plane that roars with contemptuous might at the birds below that sing in mid-flight. I listen to clocks call, I listen to video screens of various input idolatry. What have I become? When did I fall? A programmable mind, programmed by programs, is a programmer's fight for programmable might. I, too, am one who created this programmable blight, a Pandora's box of unlimited might. We turn the key and let prowl free the demons in our head. No end in sight. That's all. Yeah. All right, Dex, why don't we start with you, please?
Another great one by Daniel. One line that I'll point out that really stood out to me that I thought was just fantastic writing. Let me try and find that again here. Where is it? It was the one where the car bends, the car warps. Here, possibly disturbed by passing pennant cars, shiny warped nature. That reflection that happens in the car, you know, where everything is kind of warped into a funny way off of the side of a vehicle. I just thought that was just such a fantastic piece of writing. More aware of their sins. But this whole thing goes into a deeper kind of perspective of now and where things are heading, and just it also kind of goes back to, I think, in a few parts, there's still a few of us that appreciate the simpler things like writing and nature and things like that that don't consist of technology and all of these things. So I thought that this was just a fantastic piece and very well written.
Excellent. Thank you there, Dex. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, well, Daniel just has this way of writing that's so deep. I mean, and so wonderful, and it makes you think every time. I loved a morning dove
perch on electric comfort of which it knows not, of the devil's breath that flows within. I just love that line there. And, the whole thing all through, you know, it's just amazing. And where he plays on the word program to a programmable mind, programmed by programs, is a programmer's field for programmable might. And, like Dex said, I think, you know, there's hidden parts. Like you said, in the hidden parts of some of our hearts, the hell be the fruit that I eat without want, without need, without respect, discarded in dirt. To go back to the essentials, I think, where we're programmed, you know, like we have these demons, like he says, in our head there, no end in sight. We're just programmed, to be these little monkeys in the society today, just, walking along with the flow and forgetting our inner, inner comfort or the inner peace that we lack so much in this frantic world that we live in today. So just an amazing piece by Dan here.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Naomi. All right, Passion, how about you?
It's a beautiful piece by Daniel. I haven't read a lot of his work, but I've read a couple, and he's definitely a thought-provoking piece. And as already stated, there's several lines. I mean, there's just too many lines for me to pull out that I enjoyed. I enjoyed the stanzas, heaven being the garden of the God of faith, lost in the printed word of man, but on which does the still bloom in the hidden parts of some of our hearts, and hell to be the fruit that I eat without want, without need, without respect, discarded in dirt. I mean, we battle these different the good and the bad day to day, you know, and as the stairwell became, like Naomi said, a robot, you know, we program ourselves actually to live in the way we do, and or to at least fit society. He did a very fine job on this piece.
Excellent. Thank you very much, everybody. And Jean, how about you?
Actually, Rex, I'm going to pass on my comments because I have four poems I want to get done. So I'm going to.
Okay.
I'm going to put them in writing.
No problem.
So
this kind of hits me with a warning, so to speak, because it hits on Pandora's box of unlimited might. It kind of hints on that, where it hits the programmable mind and that on down. I almost got caught up with that one, but he ran a nice touch of thought with that. Kind of hits on that notion of lasciate ogni speranza voi che entrate. Beware ye who enter here. There's that notice of, you know what, you might not like the end result, and it kind of walks that way with all this thought to cancellation and just pummeling people into the ground for no other reason than, oh, they think it's good sport and nobody will find out who they are because they're hidden behind fake names and accounts and no one ever has to see the damage they do or actually reap it themselves until that Madame La Guillotine comes visit them. All right, Jean, we're coming back to you.
Okay, Bill. Well, the next one I'm going to put up is by Passion's Promise. So, Passion, if you can give us a read, that would be awesome.
And, all right, Daddy, no. Skipping home late in the afternoon, scared of what will happen again over the note the teacher sent.
Mom's on the front porch, silently. Screen door slams open. Dad's before me. I'm sorry, Daddy. Please don't hit me. He curled his fist and then beats me. Crawling up steps, I take them slow, bleeding all over from head to toe. Mom started yelling, "Hurry up, get in here." I cried, "I'm coming," startled by fear. I went to my room and, what have they done? All my stuff was missing. My toys are all gone. Taking a shower, I knock at the door. Oh, no. He came back for some more. The door banged open. He smiled at me. "Come on out and sit on my knee." "Daddy, no, please, I can't," I cried. He grabbed a hold of me, then poked my right eye. Crumbling, I fell to the floor. Anger in my daddy's eyes when he kicked me out the door. "Please stop it, Daddy. I will be good. I promised I would." "No, Daddy, not the closet again." A slap of his hand, the shiver it sends. Having to pee, he wouldn't let me out, all over the floor where I sat about. Covered in pee, then hunger creeps in. The door reopens and his hands begin. "Daddy, Mommy, why don't you love me? How in the world can you do this to me?" They dragged me out by my hair. Nothing left. I didn't care. As they led me to the stairwell, a cry escaped. "You're just a nasty little girl, you know. No one will ever love you. We have to let you go." I blink back the tears of the vision I see. Down 30 stairs, would I be free? Tumbling, screaming, till I hit the end. Broken body, cries I can no longer send. Why are they still looking down upon me? They took my life so they could be free of me. And as I look up, I see a hand outstretched. He has come for me. As my body lies there in a pool of blood, my soul had been lifted to the heaven above. "Don't you worry, child. You're now with me. They won't hurt you. I've set you free. Now protected in my hands, you see. For now to get to you, they'll have to go through me." End poem.
Great read, Passion. Thank you very much. And Naomi, why don't we start with you, please?
Wow. I mean, this is, you know, this is just heart-wrenching. You know, that you wrote it so so elegantly and, you know, in such a straightforward way, you know, that it just makes it even more powerful. You know, this happens all the time, and it's been happening more since COVID set in. You know, the people, they can't get into the homes to check on the children and their fate, and we've had a lot of kids killed here in Quebec anyway. I don't know about the states, but, you know, we've had a lot of kids died from child abuse here since the two last years that COVID started. So just, yeah, a hard-hitting piece and with so much truth that, you know, you just have to pay attention to this and speak out if you ever suspect something, you know. So just an amazing, amazing piece.
Thank you.
Great comment there, Naomi. Thank you. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, this is one of those pieces that is so painful that you kind of want to almost turn away. But the thing is that you can't turn away because there's people out there that can't turn away, that are being harmed. And it's one of those things that you have to look at, that we have to look at as a society that's happening. And it's the ugly truth. It's the hurtful, painful truth that some people are out there living. And so you brought it to life in these words. So this is a very powerful write and very well done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dax. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I thought it was a great piece, I have to say, Passion. Like Dax said, you know, it's hard to read, but you don't want to look away. Kind of like, you know, rubbernecking when you're going down the road and there's an accident. You know, instinct just tells you to watch. And sadly, so
unfortunately, this is such a real truth for so many people. So, but well done. Well done. Well written.
Thank you.
And, yeah, I'll agree with everyone out there, Passion. It is visceral. It is raw. And it hits on that notion of that which gets swept under the rug, whether by the parents, human health services, or all the interim bits and pieces that go along. And even the news doesn't report nearly enough on that which is going on, especially when it comes to the trafficking and all the other tidbits that come along with that, which is kind of sad. But you know what? If you don't take care of the kids, then there's nothing left to take care of at the end of the day.
That's right.
Amen.
All right, Jean, we're back on you.
Okay, I'm sending one out here now for Miss Naomi. Whenever you're ready,
yeah.
Naomi, unless you want me to
No,
audio.
I'll read it. This is called Small Awakenings. I remember small things, small awakenings, tiny moments that helped me discover who I was, realized I never quite lived inside myself before that summer when I first saw you, how my hands could touch the world around me, and when the breeze turned cool before a rainstorm, I could feel it. Because whenever I saw you, it always seemed to rain, at least once. The sky cracking open with a rush of rain and lightning and the sweet low rumble of thunder crackling through the hot clouds high above. The holes in the road would fill with water and the whole place would become a river. Yes, that summer I tasted the rain. Just to think of you. And I noticed how the warmth of the sun could caress my skin because it made me remember your eyes. They were bright blue like a summer day when the clouds skip along the sky, pushed by warm wind and shattered by sunlight. And this one hot, hot day, you took off running into a field of tall grass, your pale arms stretching above the wildflowers and underbrush, waving a gauzy net after the white butterflies that rode the sunbeams. And for the first time, I felt my smile touch my face and fill my cheekbones. What I learned that summer of gazing at you across picnic tables is that you can love somebody without even knowing their name, and you can be changed by someone who never even touched you, and that you never know who out there may be sitting quietly daydreaming while writing poetry about you and poem.
Oh, wow.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. Dex, why don't we start with you, please?
This is just an incredible piece. You know, that summer, yes, that summer I tasted the rain just to think of you. Just a beautiful piece of writing right there. And then, but the way that that ended just is this lasting beauty. A perspective that is fresh, that is lasting, and that is pure. And it's just an incredible write, Naomi. Very well done.
Thank you, Dex.
Thank you, Dex. Passion, how about you?
Naomi, I think this is one of the favorites of mine now. You write some beautiful poetry, and I'll tell you what, these stanzas, I can't just pick out a line. I really can't. Every stanza is beautiful on its own merit, and, you know, I don't know how many times that I've seen or have spoken to somebody that just catches my attention and had made me feel some sort of way online and offline.
you know, passing in a park or whatever, that made me feel some sort of way that I've sitting down and written about, and the way your descriptions and imagery through this piece was just simply amazing, wonderful work.
Thank you, Passions.
Great comment there, Passion. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, how about you?
You know, this is just an absolute gorgeous piece.
Who's being attacked?
Cat bite. Oh, hell.
Wow,
they heard the poem and couldn't wait to get into it. That's mine. No, it's mine.
Well, I guess they had their say, that's for sure. But I think this was absolutely gorgeous. It really was. And, you know, I mean, there's so much of it that's wonderful. But when you got here, what I learned from that summer of gazing at you across picnic table, I would read it all down, but the thing is, I'm getting short on time, so I don't want to quote it all. I'll put it in my written comment. But just beautiful work, Naomi, really beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not easy doing a young girl's perspective from an older woman's voice, but you actually did that. You hit on the things that would work. And I remember small things, small awakenings. Lived inside myself before that summer. Because whenever I saw you, it always seemed to rain at least once. Nice notations. The holes in the road would fill with water, and the whole place would become a river. There's an almost yearning in that notation, the voice, and everything else that walks through this, including all the descriptors. It had me thinking of one particular song, and the opening lines of that song are perfect for this, because you touched the light fandango, did cartwheels across the floor, and that seems to fit what this says right here in that moment of remembrance.
Thank you, Rex.
You're welcome. All right, Jean, I think we've got time to do at least one more.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm kind of having a... Dex, I'm going to have you read yours first. Frank, forgive me. But if I can, I'll get yours in. Okay, whenever you're ready, Dex.
This is called My Boy by Duke of St. Paul. This is so hard. You were always near me. At times it drove me nuts. Had to bust in the door, sit next to the tub while I showered. Would lick the water off my skin. Lick my pillows while I was gone. Patiently wait for the last slice of pizza. Follow me to watch me do laundry. Quality control, I guess. My windows stained by the smudge of your nose. As your bowl, your toys sit untouched. I can't come to grips what to do with them yet. You left such an imprint on me. Nothing in my life I do and not think of you. We were connected like that. And we'll be forever. I love you, Dexter. End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. All right, Passion, you get first dibs on this one.
This is sad. It almost made me want to cry. It's just in a very emotional piece to have a friend, you know, most animals these days are mistreated and not and whatnot, yet there's some of us that really love our pets. I know I have one that's just like this little pooch right here, and I don't know what I would do. I mean, literally, there's many good lines here. I mean, it's sad, but it's well written, and I don't know what else to say except it was well written and a very sad piece. Dex, my prayers go out to you. I know it's hard to let go of a little friend like that that's meaningful to you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's the name of my, I named my account after him. So, but yeah, thank you.
Nicely said, Passion. Naomi, how about you?
I'm so sorry, Dex. This is so well written. I have a hard time talking right now.
Oh, no problem there, Naomi.
No, that's okay. Thank you.
Jean, how about you?
You know, Dex, I thought this was such a wonderful tribute piece for Dexter. You touched on so many notes and memories between the two of you, and I thought that was wonderful. I think it was sad and so beautiful. And, you know, as everyone else, I am sorry for your loss. There's nothing worse than losing a friend, you know, especially a close friend, because pets can sometimes be your closest. You know, they love you unconditionally no matter what, and I think that's wonderful, in that perspective. But, but it was a marvelous piece, and I give you a lot of credit for being able to write it so soon, you know. Mm-hmm. Not always easy.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil.
Well, Dex, I'm gonna top off that with my thoughts, again, the same as everybody else's. But you could have gone bluesy with this, and you did offer a little bit of sadness, but you actually went with heart instead, because you offered up these nice little tidbits of humor in this, like, this is so hard, you were always near me. At the time, it drove me nuts. Bust in the door, sit next to the tub, would lick the water off my skin, lick my pillows, beg for the last one for pizza. And I thought that watch me do laundry, quality control, I guess, was a nice note of, yeah, you're doing it right, mate. Put in another one. And the biggest one was that next stanza. My window stained by the smudge of your nose. Yes, it's that little thing, a big, huge mess, but, yeah, I'm not ready to get rid of that just yet. It looks just fine where it is, and it kind of fits the motif and belongs where it is in the moment. So you wrote this with a lot of heart and mind, and that makes it just the perfect tribute for the dog itself. So
thank you, Rex.
Dex, you haven't been forgotten. There's a piece with your name on it. You're welcome. All right, Jean, we're coming back to you for closing notes and whatever else you'd like to do.
Okay. Well, my closing notes, I have carryovers, so anyone who did not hear the piece tonight, check out the board that I'm going to put up in about 10 minutes, and you'll see your piece there. I can pretty much guarantee it. Frank, sorry I didn't get to you. I apologize. And then, yes, in a half hour, please join Victoria Frost and Fabler for Part Center, Part Saint. I'm not sure which one's which, but those two. Not sure. Anyway, just kidding. But
we have
they're
new sinners and saints.
For a phase on it tonight. So if anyone has time, give them a buzz. I'm sure they'll be glad to hear. Rex, thanks for co-hosting with me. As always, a great job. Everybody, thanks for calling in and hanging out. Hopefully you'll join in again next week. It's always wonderful. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
Excellent show.
Thank you.
Good night, guys. Thank you very much.
Bye. Good night.
Bye, everybody.